Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place of air related to Amazon FBA, private label, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring you a very close friend of mine, Tim Jordan, Chief Community Officer at Carbon6, which is the one-stop solution for every Amazon seller. They have everything under their belt, from understanding your analytics, the PPC reimbursements, everything that every Amazon seller needs to successfully scale the brand on Amazon. And that's why I wanted to bring Tim. Like, he really sees everything under the sun in terms of what is happening in the market, what are some of the new trends, what are some of the things that you as an Amazon seller need to be mindful to successfully keep scaling your business. And that's going to be all about today's conversation. So Tim, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, bro. How you doing? I think you're muted, bro. That's fine. I think you're muted. I cannot hear you. That's fine. You show muted here. That's fine. Click the mute button, and then we can edit it out. Don't worry.
Awesome. Wow! Can you hear me now?
Yeah. So
how I did that when I was changing screens. All right, I'll just jump right back in. You ready?
Jump. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I'm doing good. I'm just a little concerned. So you said Carbon6 is everything under the bed. And when I think of what hides under the bed, it's monsters. So I'm not sure how to take that. Maybe it's a, I don't know.
You have this advantage
of being like massively multilingual, unlike me, like the typical, you know, one language speaker. So I can't give you too hard of a time because you probably translated that 7 times in your head before you spit it out. So
that's a good one, bro. Yeah, to be honest, sometimes when I try to, translate some of the slang from Spanish or Italian to English, sometimes it doesn't translate that well. But I'm sure people understood what I meant.
Oh, yeah, of course.
As I was saying, you know, the market is having a huge shift. We see like Amazon sellers are really concerned about what is been happening with the fees going up, the competition being more fierce than ever. People are already starting to look into other avenues to diversify the e-commerce revenue. So, you know, I want to see from you, like, because you at every single event, you're always speaking on stage, you speak to so many sellers, like, what is the thing you're seeing in the market? Like, what are some of the main dynamics you feel are happening right now?
Well, you actually talked about two different things. You said the market, and then you talked about like sellers' fears and sellers' perceptions. And those are two mm-hmm. very different things, because the market is better than it's ever been.
Yeah.
And yes, there are some things that are causing some concerns for sellers, but that is actually an advantage to most of us. So let me explain what I mean. We see headlines that are, you know, scary, sensational, you know, in the Amazon seller world. This fee's going up. This is changing. You know, PPC is more competitive than it's ever been. More inventory issues, you know, like all of the negatives. And a lot of those are definitely things that are going to be tough to adjust to. They're not pills we like to swallow, right?
Yeah.
But that means that our job could be getting more difficult. It doesn't mean that the market's changing for the worse. Because if you look at the actual data on Amazon, you see that every single day, more and more people buy from Amazon. Every yeah. week, a record is broken, you know, from the same week the year before. Every Q4 is bigger, every Prime Day is bigger. So what that means that more people are coming to Amazon every day to buy products. There are more customers, there's more demand, there's more total addressable market, okay? Well, when you think about some of the struggles that we as sellers have, it's not that there's more demand for the types of products we sell. It's just more competition. There are more people selling similar products that are trying to capture the eyeballs and the attention of the same type of customers we want to sell to. So those things that we stress out about, and yeah, it's stress, right? It's not necessarily fun to try to learn all these new things that are to handle more feed. But that just gives us an opportunity to weed out the weak from the strong. Because as this, you know, like mentality spreads around to a lot of people of, oh, woe is me, Amazon's awful, Amazon's awful. What does that mean? It means there's less people selling on Amazon.
Yeah.
It means the folks that have a really crappy product offering, but they're outranking me consistently on my main keywords because their price is lower, means that they're just running on very tiny margins. So if things are adjusting to the margins, that means that they can't continue to do that. So it either means they have to raise their price and try to compete with me head to head, which they can't, or they drop off. So all of these things that create an opportunity to differentiate ourselves as a winning business versus the people that aren't, that we see as stress, can definitively be a good thing when we also consider that there are more and more people buying more and more products every day on Amazon throughout the world. So maybe I'm more of like a glass half full kind of guy. Maybe I'm like really just an optimist and I'm like trying to see, you know, the sunshine through the clouds. But we also have data to support this with, you know, what I do in the industry, what I get to see, my relationship with Amazon, and specifically the data that we have at Carbon 6. I mean, we have a lot of people connected to our platform for various reasons. And of course, we keep everything anonymized and we keep everything confidential, but we can see overall statistics, right?
What is happening. Yeah.
And what we see is that every day there are essentially less and less sellers, but the sellers that are there are growing more and more. Exactly. Now that's on average. So if you're listening and you're like, dang, Tim, I did 2 million last year. This year, I'm going to do 1 million. Look, obviously there's exceptions. I'm giving you averages, but the folks that are doing it right, that are doing it well, that are doing it white hat, that are learning and adjusting and they're resilient, they continue to just grow and grow and grow and grow. So no, I don't think that I'm just a glass half full kind of, you know, putting a shine on the truth.
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about what data shows us, which is that more people are buying on Amazon and the people that are selling well on Amazon are doing better and better every week, every month, every year. So I think that there's a golden opportunity for us and it's not all doom and gloom.
Yeah, I agree. I think also what happened with Amazon is that in the past, let's be honest, you could put anything on the platform and a lot of those things were going to be a successful product because the market was growing at such a fast pace. And the fact that a lot of people didn't really understand the game, that you could hit a home run very fast, like in the 2014, 15, 16 era, right? And I feel that created a thought process and a baseline that people started to think, oh, Amazon is easy. And Amazon is just taking a product from, you know, China, put it on Amazon and flip it, and that's it. And when things started to consolidate, which started to happen specifically after the aggregator bubble, that we saw all these brands getting purchased and so much knowledge getting poured into from more an enterprise level, we started to see how the game started to be to go from a like a side hustle mentality to a proper business one-on-one, right? And that's where what you bring into the table, I see it all every single day. People think that it's all about, you know, having the cheapest price and that's it. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond how I create an actual brand, an actual experience, how I increase the lifetime value of my clients, how I keep them engaged with what I bring to them in terms of their lifestyle. And I feel most sellers, the only thing they try to do is find always a silver bullet on changing a small keyword here, finding a black hat strategy that's going to get them a boost here, or the silver bullet in the PPC. But those are only going to be incremental things that are going to last you for a few weeks. But then if the fundamentals are not there, the business is not going to last very long, you know?
Well, I agree with that. And a lot of people ask me how to do that, right? Because they watched a course, they had some success doing something, or they, you know, copied another thing. And I'm telling them, hey, you got to be like a real business now. And they say, well, how do I do that? And the first thing I say is stop being an Amazon seller. Mm-hmm. And they're like, what? Like, I thought you loved Amazon. I'm like, I do love Amazon, but stop being an Amazon seller. And they're like, Tim, what do you mean? And I'll say, start thinking of yourself as an e-commerce seller that sells on Amazon. And then I explain and then I say, you know, we as Amazon sellers, we compartmentalize, we label ourselves, and we really limit ourselves by calling ourselves that because what we think about is hacking the system. How do we beat the algorithm? How do we, and we forget that like basic market principles apply. Like have a good product, have a good offer, create a great brand experience. Now, creating a brand is a whole separate topic. And I tell most people, like, don't even try to create a brand, but you can create good brand experience and good branding. Brand means like globally recognized, right? Like if I sell shoes on Amazon, I'll never be Nike, right? It's just not going to happen, but I digress. And what I tell people is if you start thinking of yourself not as an Amazon seller, especially not as, oh, I'm an Amazon private label seller. Think of yourself as just a brand owner, right? And you're using Amazon maybe even as your only distribution method. It's a mindset. It's a mentality. It's getting out of this like habit of thinking of yourself as someone who's just hacking the system. I spend a lot of time in China, right? And over the past year, I've spent a lot. And I've had some very deep conversations with leaders at Amazon and at places like Alibaba and with big sellers. You know, in the past few months, I've gotten to go to China and I've got to sit in the offices of $70 million sellers, $100 million, $300 million sellers. And what's interesting is I walk into these just amazing, you know, offices with 400 employees and I'm like, good Lord, this is such a huge business. And like the founder will come and sit down in the conference room table with me. And I'm like, dude, you're running a $300 million business. What are you doing talking to me? He's like, Tim, teach me. I'm like, teach you what? He's like, yes. I'm like, yes, what? He's like, how to market. And see, what's happening is I'm not particularly bright. What's happening, like even in China, is these, you know, these brands that have competed with a lot of us so long based in China in price and hacking the system. They now know that like, the tables are turning. The tide has changed. They've got to like level up. So now what they're interested in is not just being the cheapest because they're closest to the supply chain and can beat us in price. They're going to start creating value or at least perceived value. So there are basic things like, what should I do with social media? You know, how do I build a brand? Like, what is external traffic? Like they're asking stuff that's like very basic. I spoke at an event, 6 months ago. And I got off stage, there's a bunch of people that were wanting to talk to me. And they said, we've been watching your content online. I said, which content? Turns out it was content I did like 5 years ago. And it's just been translated into Mandarin through AI. And they're like, this is next level stuff. And I'm like, bro, that's 5 years old. So not beating up on Chinese sellers. I'm just saying that like even the people, the brands, the sellers that have caused some of the, I'm stereotyping here, but like largest headaches, are coming back around and like, good Lord, we beat the system completely for years, but now it just comes down to basic marketing, implementing DSP, implementing omni-channel, especially omni-channel traffic back to Amazon. Like it's basics. Yeah. So I say all that to be encouraging, right? Because when I go to like a Shopify event or like a community event that's mostly Shopify sellers or DSC sellers, they are talking about stuff that is general marketing. And then I start talking about Amazon and they're just completely lost. They're like, they don't have a clue. They're like the stuff that we talk about basically, you know, like me and you, you know, Vincenzo right now could throw out 150 acronyms and most all of the listeners to this would know every single one of those acronyms. Like this is basic stuff for us. It's just completely foreign to these brands. And what that made me realize is, hey, we're pretty smart. Like just for somebody that's selling their first product on Amazon to even get their account open and get their first listing done, you have crossed like 628,000 hurdles. You've learned a lot just to get there. So if you've learned the Amazon side, the branding and marketing side isn't terribly hard because it's not specific to platform. It's general, basic marketing. You can go to somebody like Gary Vaynerchuk, whether you like him or not, and go listen to his stuff. And it will apply to general marketing. Like there's content, tons of examples. You've done the work. You've figured out mastering a platform. Now you just got to go out and get a product or another SKU or another line, or you got to quit thinking of yourself as an Amazon seller and think of yourself as a product seller selling on Amazon. And like, it's a pretty peachy future for a lot of us.
Yeah. You're mentioning while describing the whole shift that is happening in terms of, you know, how sellers are getting more savvy. You briefly mentioned external traffic and social media. And I feel from, you know, the different events have been going and the different masterminds and groups here and there, like this is a conversation that's becoming very prominent. Like everybody now is talking about using influencer, using external traffic. And I feel to some extent, that's like the starting point of creating a brand to some extent, right? Because when you work with influencers, they become ambassadors, you start warming the audience, people get to know your brand, and from there, it's a snowball effect. Now, my question to you is like, how you see this becoming more and more important from a success point of view? Because a lot of people is doing it, but the reality is actually that driving success for sellers. Like, is this effort that now we need to go to external traffic, influencer marketing, all that? Are you seeing sellers that are being successful, especially the ones that are getting bigger and bigger, having a big chunk of their efforts now diverting towards influencer marketing? Are you starting to see that as well?
That's like asking how long is a piece of string? Like, It depends, like, what piece of string is it? Because there's not one general answer for anybody. But if I had to generalize, let me throw out some philosophical, like, high-level strategic stuff. First, let me go back to what I mentioned about brand earlier. I think this is a good time. Mm-hmm. I think that we do not identify the differences in what brand means. It's kind of like the word love. You know, in the English language, there's one word. It's love. In Greek, it's got like five words. You know, you've got eros, you've got phileo, you've got like all these different loves.
Spanish as well. Yeah.
The same, Spanish, there's tons, right? Like, I think that we, as like quote unquote Amazon sellers, have turned the name brand into what we did in English, which is love, which is, it's a word that actually has a lot of meanings. So if you say, hey, is brand important? I'm going to say, yes, kind of. Because there are elements, there are types of brand or branding or brand building that are not as important as others. So when I think about our objective, everybody listening here, what is our objective? We all have the same objective, right? It's not to lower our PPC, you know, ACOS. It's not to get more SKUs. It's not to, all it is just to make money. We're all in business to make money. And the truth is, if we forget about like these passions that we have, like, oh, I have to be the best Amazon seller in the world, we might say like, hey, the best thing for me to do is go over to Shopify or TikTok shop, or hell, start an agency, you know, for other sellers, right? So if we're in it to make money and we are becoming open-minded about the best way to do that, we need to recognize that there's this fantasy in this word brand that sometimes is not the best path to us making the most amount of money. Because when I think about a brand, the primary like meaning of the word brand in digital marketing specifically is like recognition. Okay. So look at the name Google. Hell, the company name became a verb. Now Googling is something you do. Exactly. Like that's brand. Like Coca-Cola is brand. Like Nike. Think of Nike. You don't think of a shoe. You think of a mindset. Think of a desire to push the envelope and performance and success and like athleticism, right? Man, it took a long time to do that. Like it takes companies decades and millions and millions and millions of dollars to do that. Now, here's the deal. If our objective is to make money and most products in this world exist already, right? Like the idea of creating the most amazing, well-known brand for kitchen equipment is pretty far-fetched. Like if you think about like kitchen gadgets, you've got like XOXO, right?
Yeah.
But dude, if I saw an XOXO billboard on the highway, most people driving wouldn't even know what that is. Like we know because we all sell kitchen stuff at some point in our careers, right? So like even the best examples of like branded kitchen accessories, there's like not really any. You think about stores like Williams and Sonoma, but you get my point. So instead of thinking about like, let's just go back to the kitchen accessories example. Maybe the objective isn't building a brand. Maybe it's building high perceived value through great branding. Maybe it's creating a great brand experience. So what does great brand experience mean? Well, it means a lot of things. It means your packaging is awesome. They open it up and it looks just nice. And you've got, you know, yada, yada, and you got all this stuff. And it's just cheap to do, but it's just the extra little touches. And you have an index card in there that, or an insert card that talks about, you know, your warranty and scan this QR code and it goes to their website. You capture them as actual, you know, contacts now. And then every month you send out a blog for recipes, right? Like, that's a brand experience. Like, it's a good experience that people want when they purchase a product, as opposed to just getting a spatula in a plastic OPP bag that smells like garlic, right? Like, nobody wants that. Is it still the same spatula? Sure could be. But, man, that brand experience is a lot better. And that matters because you can display that brand experience prior to the purchase, right? Like, you can have that in your images. You can have videos. You can now use, you know, UGC stuff and influencers and, like, all that crap, right? But then also, as they buy it, they're more likely, when they're scrolling through Amazon, to see that and go, you bought this. Do you want to buy it again? You know, those like buy again recommendations, buy one for their family member or similar products by this brand. If you got a bunch of kitchen accessories, it shows it. Now, are they likely going to go, man, that was a great spatula, and like go in their kitchen and look up the logo on the back of the spatula and go search that? Probably not, right? Just being honest with you, probably not. But the brand experience does matter because it helps you increase the initial purchase price because of perceived value. It, you're more likely to get repeat purchase, same brand, all that good stuff, right? And then perceived brand value is important. There have been a lot of tests and a lot of case studies to show that if I'm selling the same kitchen knife as 50 other people that are all selling it at $12, and I sell the same dang knife at $29.99 with a better box and better images, and it just looks more professional, people are willing to pay that. It's the same dang knife, but that brand perception, that is branding, good branding. Okay. So yes, to, now I realize this got my soapbox, but yes, to go back to the question of how important is this, is important? That's a question. Is creating a universally known brand important? It's pretty tough if your objective is to make money, because you probably won't. But like good branding, good brand experience, good brand presence, yes. Because those things convert well on other places. If I'm selling kitchen accessories, it is really easy to go out and find a ton of people on YouTube or Instagram or TikTok that are cooking or they're talking about. Like, think about brand experience going to an influencer, right? Instead of going to the influencer saying, hey, my name is Vincenzo. I sell this chicken crap and I would love, or not chicken crap, kitchen crap, sorry, kitchen crap. And I would love for you to promote my product in exchange for an affiliate fee. Or I just send them one and say, hey man, I love your channel. I'd love for you to check this thing out. Like, tell me if you back. Talk about brand experience difference. You're asking, hey man, can you hook me up versus let me hook you up? Now they're much more likely to feature your product, maybe even for free, right? Definitely more willing to do business with you because the brand experience is better.
Yeah.
And then the brand perception is higher because if they talk about to the potential buyers, because if influencers talking about your product and giving third-party valuation that this is a valuable purchase based on his expertise or her expertise. Like, that's a whole system of, like, brand perception with good branding. Yes, it works. My gosh, we've got so much freaking data through PixelMe at Carbon6, where we run external traffic and we allow, like, retargeting and recookieing and all stuff. It is nuts how high the LTV of purchases can be when you bring people in from external sources with like valid trust, influencers, affiliates, you know, like all that stuff, or just relevant purchase intent because people are searching a search term on Google. They're searching for a cat hairbrush. Well, a pretty good chance they like cats and they have cats and they want to brush their hair. So they search for a cat hairbrush as opposed to just going and like throwing out a video of your cat hairbrush on TikTok to everybody in the world, right? Because not everybody's going to like cats, and most of them are not even interested in buying cat hairbrush, right? So yeah, all that stuff is important. If you think about it specific to your product, your business, and your goals, I think the mistake that people make is they get so overwhelmed and like so discouraged because they try to take these general principles, and there's too many of them, and try to figure out how to master them all. Man, just take one little chunk that's going to be low-hanging fruit, high value for you with low effort calories and start dabbling in it. Yes, it matters.
Yeah, love it. Now, when you were actually also describing some of the things sellers are starting to explore more and more, it's also the omni-channel approach, right? And we see how there are so many shiny objects when it comes to that. We have Temu now, we have Walmart, we have TikTok Shop, AliExpress. I mean, there are so many marketplaces now are becoming a conversation in terms of where to start branching my brand to in terms of distribution channel, right? And the question that I get a lot from Amazon sellers is how you quantify the efforts and the return you're going to get out of that. Because let's be honest, most of the traffic is in Amazon still, right? But still, diversifying is definitely the way to go, especially with everything that's happening as of now. So I wanted to hear your take on the omnichannel approach, because I know for a fact that for some sellers, it's definitely the way to go, but for others, sometimes it's definitely not the right stage in terms of moving down that direction. So what is usually your recommendation for people ask you, what should I do? Should I stay on Amazon or should I start branching out to other channels?
Again, wrong question. Should I be an Amazon seller? Should I stay on Amazon? Look, always be on Amazon. It doesn't hurt you, right? And what we're seeing work well is getting people's attention and still driving them to Amazon. That's why Buy with Prime is like pushing so hard, because their idea is there's so much brand trust and ease to buy on Amazon that like it'll even lubricate the purchase experience on a Shopify site, right? Not sure I completely buy in yet, still be determined, but you get my point. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I think of omnichannel, I think about omnichannel branding, not even omnichannel fulfillment or purchase place. That doesn't really matter. Like those are just the nuts and bolts, the logistics of where are you going to make your purchase and enter your credit card and get shipped from. Doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter. As long as it's a smooth process, it doesn't matter. Because people are interested in the product, not where they shop. So the advantage of Amazon is they can handle all of the shopping experience and the discovery experience. Like there's people there looking for products. You can, you know, work your way up into the search algorithm. You can run PPC. Great. But when I think about omnichannel, I think about awareness. Like where can I put my product value, my product offer in other places? And TikTok's a good example of how there's a difference between just saying, should I sell on TikTok or not? Well, maybe TikTok shop is great for your product. Maybe it's not. A lot of products that are not good for TikTok shop. But TikTok fundamentally, I believe, and the TikTok folks would hate it if they ever hear this, I believe TikTok shop is never going to be a marketplace. It's not, because of intent. Why do we go to Amazon, Vincenzo? We go there to buy something. When I go to my Amazon app, by God, I am shopping. When I go to my TikTok app, I'm going to be entertained.
Yeah,
that's what I'm going to do. Yeah, and you can capture my attention, right? I'm walking down the street and there's retail stores with big windows with their products. TikTok is just a retail window when I'm walking down the street. I'm just cruising by and something might capture my attention. Now, if you have a quick ability and a simple ability to facilitate a purchase through like an impulse purchase decision, amazing, awesome. Maybe TikTok shop's great for that. But hey, folks, that's not always the case. Like a lot of things, I take some time. Like I'm planting some, I'm like doing some hobby farming, right?
Okay.
And I'm like this weird variety of clay cow peas, right? I was planting this summer. Well, you know, I was made aware of these things through following like TikTok content creators that are talking about like eco farming and hobby farming and like the organic tonnage per acre versus how many pounds of nitrogen. So like I'm going there to be educated. I'm becoming aware of this new variety of clay cow pea, right? Well, I'm not going to go back to TikTok and buy it. No, it made me aware. And now I'm going to go like this to even a specialty website to buy. But for that seller of that hybridized pea seed, would it be fair to say, hey, you should be selling on TikTok? No. But would it be fair to say, don't pay attention to TikTok? No, because that's where I found it. Right. So think of omnichannel traffic sources as being more important than omnichannel selling sources or selling platforms, with the exception that there are platforms with high buyer intent like eBay in Europe, right? Like people are going there to shop. So make your decision mostly by where people's eyeballs are, where you can get their attention for the highest bang for your buck. And then secondarily, think about the actual platform that you sell. But with my example of eBay, it's still where the eyeballs are. So that's still the primary decision. Where are people going to find my product that I can afford to show it to them on?
Love it. Now, another conversation I would like to start bringing so we can come to a closure is, you know, lately we haven't really been hearing a lot about what is really the end game for most Amazon sellers, right? Or brands in general. Like before, I remember last year and the year before, the conversation was always about getting ready for an exit, which is usually the biggest payday that most entrepreneurs have in their e-commerce career in terms of getting their money back. So the reason why I wanted to bring this to the table is because I get a lot of questions lately about, you know, I want to have an exit. Do you think now is the right moment? Do you think better things are ahead? Do you think the market is going to get to a place where potentially, the situation for an exit is going to be healthier than what we are right now? And I know you also talk to, you know, a lot of aggregators, and you've been experiencing what happened the last few years. So I just want to get a glimpse about your thoughts on that, because I feel that's also a very important part of being a seller. And I feel that right now there's so much uncertainty that people, like, that side of their journey is being kind of imposed. Like, should I exit? Should I stay? Should I keep growing? Should I not grow it? Like, what is your take on that?
Yeah, we know the aggregator bubble burst, right?
Yeah.
Aggregators paying a ton of money for Amazon businesses. Mm-hmm. It could be discouraging unless I stop thinking of myself as an Amazon seller, thinking of myself as a product seller. Because here's the truth. Aggregators were the only people that bought SEO. Now, what I mean by that is most of the products that aggregators were buying were just commoditized products. Everybody else had them too. The reason that they were buying your, I won't even call it a brand, because that does a lot of real brands a disservice by calling a lot of the crap aggregators bought brands. I think that what they were buying was just ranking, velocity, revenue, exactly. Right? Mm-hmm. So those days are essentially gone. They'll never be back. But that's not discouraging, because you know what? People have been buying businesses for thousands of years, right? So go back to like what I was talking about marketing. Think about traditional business building. Build a product line, or build a brand, or build a well-branded product line. We'll say that. Build a business that has value, not specifically to aggregators on Amazon, but that has value. And we're still seeing purchases happen all the time for people that have that mindset. They don't put all their eggs in one basket. You know, they're not sitting on a one-legged stool. They have creative ways to bring traffic and value and raise LTV and like all the just traditional stuff. Well, private equity firms, there are still like some aggregators and incubators, accelerators are still buying. They're just kind of keeping it quiet. And there's also strategic buyers. I have a friend who has a $72 million a year business. And she is the biggest competitor for some specific products in like the baby category to a large brand. Well, large brand is like, dang, you went out and you innovated our products. You got a patent on those. We can't replicate them. And you are crushing 15% of our market online because you're stealing 15% of our customers. They're like, let us buy you. It's $72 million a year company. They offered a 2.5 multiple, which is not terrible. And she's 30 years old or 31 years old. She'll go retire for the rest of her life when this transaction happens. Right. Wow. So I think it is unfair to say like, oh, the aggregator bubble burst, we're all screwed. No. If you think of yourself as an Amazon seller that only hacks the system, yes, you're screwed. If you're creating real value and being a real product seller and you're thinking omnichannel approach and you're thinking like, no, you don't even have to create a Nike brand, just something stable, a sustainable business that can move around and adapt between the ebbs and flows of specific marketplace excitement and things like that, then folks, you've got something. And people are paying big money for it, like big money. It's just not the aggregators. So don't be discouraged. Think of yourself a little bit differently and there's value.
Love it. So Tim, I think that's the perfect point to close to this episode. So before we conclude, I know you have something special for me. You tell me, right? Is that correct?
Yeah. Hey, I love bringing value. And it's so much fun being involved with a company that has a lot of resources right now that can hook up, you know, sellers. And over at Carbon 6, we've got a lot of really smart folks, right? We've got the Chelsea Cohens. We've got the Vanessa Hungs. We've got tons of advisors in this industry. We've got tons of investors that are expert Amazon sellers. They pitch in to create some of the best content you've ever seen. And one thing that we've done really well is just based on performance, our white papers. We take a complicated thing, whether it's FBA fees or external traffic, and we create these just what I believe to be phenomenal white papers that just give you everything you need to know about this topic, and we make it for free. So in the show notes or in the social media posts, wherever you're watching this, we've got a link for you to go just download those for free. I think there's 5 of them currently. We're working on like a 6th and a 7th. Check those out, completely free. Huge PDF documents. I'm talking about hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of man hours put into these things by some really smart folks with real life examples, real life case studies. You know, it is like some of the best free content you can ever get. It's an irresistible offer. Click the link, go and get this free information and make your business better.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. It's been a pleasure. Looking forward to see you soon upcoming events. Yeah, well, thank you so
much.
All right,
take care.
Bye-bye. See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the E-Commerce Lab by EcomC. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomc.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomc.